welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is John Spence. He is an executive educator and professional speaker, and maybe we'll get an even better definition out of him for that. Author of the book, Awesomely Simple, and we're going to talk about strategic thinking, high-performance teams, advanced leadership development, and delivering consistently superior customer service and other BS that small business owners don't need to deal with. Right, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't want to be in business, there's no reason to know this stuff.
Well, you know, I welcome, first off.
Thank you,
but,
John.
I say that half kidding, half not kidding, because I think that I know you know what page I'm on, but there are a lot of small business owners out there that I think they look at some of this vision and values and mission and, you know, isn't that just a bunch of hooey that big organizations need to worry about so they can justify their existence?
Not at all. I mean, you know, I've run big organizations and small organizations, and I have clients all the way up into the Fortune 10. But to give you a prime example, this Monday I ran a high-performance team-building class for a company with 5 employees and 1 owner, 6 people in the whole company. And the number one issue they had was, we don't understand the vision of the company, where we're trying to go, what's most important, how to prioritize our work. So, you know, you can look at a Microsoft or a GE or an IBM or a Qualcomm. Yes, they need to have a clear vision and they've got 100 or 300,000 employees, but it goes all the way down to the same thing for a 6-person firm. People need to understand as clearly as possible, what are we here for? What are we trying to achieve? What is the future like? Because once that's clear, it helps them make faster decisions, helps them prioritize their work, and it gives them a sense of meaning and excitement and motivation for why they're coming to work every day.
Yeah, I actually believe, and I do want to chop into each of these 6 different items a little bit specific for the small business. I actually believe that small businesses have an advantage in implementing and getting value out of some of the things you talk about. I think sometimes it's harder to communicate a clear vision across a 10,000 person organization than it is to sit around with 5 people and all say, yeah, we're on the same page.
It's dramatically harder in a large organization. And then another huge advantage for a small business is, one of the things that makes a vision the most compelling to an employee is having a say in it. Mm. Feeling like they get to put their thumbprint on it, they got some input, because with input and contribution comes commitment. And it's hard to share the vision and let 310,000 or 10,000 employees have input on it. It's really easy to sit around the table with 6, you know, 5 employees and say, what do you guys think? You know, what's important to you? What motivates you? What do you want to have happen here? I agree. I think there's a big advantage.
So let's talk about each of the items. And I love books that are it's simple's in the title, so I guess I can say that are simple in that you can just say, hey, we're gonna, you know, here are 5 or 6 concepts, and you know, we can take them as complex or as simple as you want. But this idea of Chapter 1, I think it is, vivid vision, the idea of you know, vision and values and purpose. And, you know, how does the 1-to-5-person shop kind of do that? I mean, I think what maybe happens if somebody's doing it, they maybe haven't – I fall into this. I maybe haven't crafted this crisp statement, but I'm sort of living who I am and my own personal values, and I think that probably – has an attractiveness of its own.
I think in a small business, you're right. It's going to be personal because it's going to reflect the values, the wishes, the vision of the owner. I mean, it's your business, it's your money, you're wrapped up to it. It's your whole life. It should reflect who you are and permeate the organization that way. But I think the key thing to understand, at least from my standpoint, with vision, values, purpose, mission, is you don't have to craft something that's, you know, a literary award-winning thing. If it's clear, if it's simple, I love the way Guy Kawasaki puts it. He says, you know, make it a mantra. Just make something that everyone on your team knows we're here for 3 things or 4 things. And by the way, I also think with a small business that it's absolutely great to have a mission or a vision around just building a quality company that'll take care of our employees, create a great life for us, and allow us to have fun at work and make good, you know, make decent money.
Yeah, so I think one of the most attractive things a company can do is just that, have a have have a real clear understanding, and obviously authentic. I mean, it's great to make up, rallying cries, but you got to live them.
Right.
But just why we do what we do. I think that that is very appealing, from an employee standpoint, from a customer standpoint, from a supplier standpoint.
Well, I've owned a couple of different businesses in my life and run a couple of different ones from very large to very small. The last business I owned was an advertising firm. And we built that strictly as a quality of life firm. Our goal wasn't to take over the world. Our goal wasn't to be the best advertising in the our goal was let's build a really, really high quality firm that does amazing work for our clients, keeps them very happy, and allows our employees to have lots of flexible time, to have great work-life balance, and really enjoy where they come to work every day while they improve on their craft.
Yeah, so one of the issues in getting that across or making that happen though was you had to communicate that too, right?
Exactly right.
Because I think that's probably the challenge I see some folks having, or it's not even a challenge, it's just they don't think to do this, is that, they have this mission and values and purpose and vision, but they don't, tell the story. They don't make it a core part of who the, or what the business is. I mean, so give me some thoughts on maybe how somebody who knows, hey, here's what I want this thing to be, how do they get that across in a way that makes sense?
Cool. Well, the first thing is, and you said it earlier, but it's the key is it's got to be authentic. This isn't about some, rallying cry or some big thing. It's tell the truth from your heart about what you're trying to accomplish. There's lots of ways to do this. You can have the pull everybody together and let me stand up and tell you about it. You can have the, this is the way I did it is at the beginning of every year, I sent out a very long memo to my entire team, 6 or 7 pages. It would take me a week or two to write it. I would write it as honestly, as heartfelt as I possibly could and say, as we enter this next year, let's keep these things in mind. This is what's most important to focus on. These are the values we all live by. This is what we're trying to create here. And here's what all of you can do to help support that. And then what I would do is have a sit-down meeting with each of them independently and say, what does this mean to you? Do I need to change it? Is there some stuff you'd like to add? And so we used, and I would from time to time, when I realized that things were flagging or we had a problem or maybe we weren't exactly where we needed to be, I would just send out a memo to my entire staff and say, hey, I've reattached the memo. We used to call them the famous John Spence, annual memo. I've reattached the memo for this year. Would you take a look at it? And that'll kind of refresh. And here was another interesting thing, John. I've been doing this all the way since the first company I ran in 1989, is I was able to say, hey, pull back the memo from the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before, and you're going to see it's all consistent. We have the same core values. We're trying to do the same stuff. So that also gave a lot of security people to say, I know where we're going, and from year to year, it's not changing too much. We're on a path for excellence. We're on a path for having fun. And then you can, used to leave voicemails for my folks late in the evening when I knew they were gone or they should be gone. Every now and then I would call at midnight and someone would answer the phone. I'd say, what are you there? Go home and be with your family. But most of the time I'd leave them voicemails saying, hey, I appreciate, individual personal ones saying, I appreciate what you're doing. I saw the work you did this week for the client. It was awesome. And I just want to remind you that we're here to do, and then I'd give them the vision value stuff. So it can be one-on-ones, it can be at parties, all hands, it can be an email and a voicemail. But the key thing is relentless, consistent, over and over again with the vision. I find company after company after company I've worked with that one of the number one challenges is lack of a well-communicated vision. The owner worries about it, they think about it, they're all up at night, the senior management team sits around and talks about it. But if you go 2 levels down in the organization, they look around and they go, we don't really know what the vision or the direction of the organization is. And that's a shame.
My vision is to keep my manager off my butt.
There you go.
All right, chapter two, best people. And this is one that so many people say, hire the best people. But from a small business, and maybe I'm projecting a little here, but from a
Yeah.
small business owner standpoint, it's kind of tough sometimes. I mean, maybe the best talent out there is very expensive. Maybe I don't really have time to figure out who the best is. So this is a place where people really fall down, and we could probably extend this to not just employees, but suppliers, partners, all the other working parts that a small business might have as part of their ecosystem.
That's an outstanding point you just made because not all small businesses understand that your vendors, your partners, your suppliers, your strategic alliances are in large part of your employee base or they make up a huge part of your success. And you said it as well. A lot of companies give this lip service and it's a shame because I'm a huge believer that the future of your business is tied directly to the quality of the people you can get and keep on your team. And if you believe that, and if you shake your head vigorously and say, yes, I agree, then it just stands to reason that you ought to be spending some time, energy, and effort on making sure that A, you're a connoisseur of talent, that you really understand the kind of people you want on your team, where they are, how you can find them, and create a pipeline of talent towards your company, and then make it a great place to work once those folks get there so you can grow and keep that talent, which, you mentioned, and it's the biggest pushback I get is, John, I'd like to hire the best talent, but they're too expensive.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, top talent does not come for money. Yes, you have to pay them fairly, but as long as you pay them 10% above or below what they would make to do the same job anyplace else, a fair salary, and you give them an awesome culture, you praise them, you give them a chance for personal growth and personal development, and allow them to do meaningful work, you can absolutely attract the very, very best talent in the world, because the number one thing they want is not massive pay. It's a real high quality workplace with fair and reasonable pay.
It's a great point. I interviewed Scott Cook, who's one of the founders of Intuit, and he made a statement that just, it kind of, I just went, wow, that is really true. I mean, maybe somebody else told him this, but I'd never heard anybody say this. He says, our best people are all volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
And, because they could get this same pay or more tomorrow. And so, you have to look at it. What keeps a volunteer committed and motivated? And it's probably loops back to point number one, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, that vision, the excitement, the meaning.
Yeah.
And I in the last 17 years being a consultant and a trainer worldwide, I've had the chance to work with high potential teams at some of the largest companies in the world, Microsoft, IBM, GE, I mean some of the best of the best. And whenever I'm in front of that group, I realize that those are voluntary employees. They're so good at what they do that they could quit at noon and they'd have a new job by 2. And they
Right.
know that.
Yep.
So I always look at it and say, what is it attracts you? Why do you come to a place like this? And to a person, they're going to say, I respect my leader and I love working for them. I like the people I work with and I get to do really cool work. Not one of them has ever said, oh, I get paid a ton here. Not
You
one.
should see what we have in the coffee machine.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's always about, I really respect the person I work for. I love my leader. I really like the people I work with and I love my job. I'm highly engaged in the organization, in my leader, and in my work.
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial. So let's jump to point number three. We may not get all the way through the entire book, but I love this one, communication. And obviously we could play that as a marketing communication tool, but I read something on your blog, and I we were speaking directly about small business, and I think this is so great. I'd love to hear you kind of expand on this. The other person you have to be a great communicator with is yourself, and boy, does that ring true for the person that the small business owner that in many cases is on out there on an island. So talk a little bit about that idea.
Well, especially in a small business, you've got to be the person that represents the organization. You also have to be an anchor of reality. You've got to be able to communicate with yourself. You've got to be highly self-aware and be able to tell yourself the truth and be honest about that. Then you're also the one that, in large part, drives the entire marketing message and the entire business message of the company. So part of it is a high level of self-awareness, being brutally honest with yourself and admitting, your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses, when you need help, when you need other people on your team that you can't do it all. And then number two is realizing that they hear everything you say, they see everything you do. When you become the leader, you're on stage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and it doesn't mean act. I'm not saying put, be an actor, but what I'm saying is every message counts, nothing is small.
Yeah, I see so often business owners that, sometimes in the course of the day, a customer can be a pain in the butt, right?
Yeah.
We've all had that, and you see a lot of business owners that adopt that sort of mindset. Well, you know, I have a good sense that that they're probably communicating that to the whole staff, that it's okay to diss the customer.
Oh, years ago, I was talking to a small company, and one of the staff members said that they walked by and saw the CEO flipping off the person on the phone. And yeah, it was a customer, and they were not happy, and they were making faces and rolling their eyes and doing that stuff. And here's what the employee said: I wonder if she does that when she's talking to me on the phone.
Yeah.
And that sent the message: it's okay. It's okay to do that. And B, I wonder if she does that about us when we're not around. So you got to, as a small business owner, you really give up a lot of freedom to say what you feel like saying, do what you see. You've got to guard it carefully, because your messages count. All of them count.
And I was writing about culture in my latest book, and it's the line that people feed back to me more often than any that they say just really impacts them. And I was saying that that there's a pretty good chance that your employees are treating your customers exactly like you are treating them. And I think I've had more business owners tell them that was a very chilling thought.
Yeah.
That really kind of changed, or at least momentarily changed, how they thought about how they should be treating staff.
Yeah, and I heard a really good new quote I'd never heard before this week that really it hit me between the eyes, which is, you have to win in the workplace first before you can win in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if your company, a lot of times we're talking about very small companies where the chief salesperson and the chief, manufacturing person is the same person. But boy, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 employees, and all of a sudden it's their performance and what some other folks are doing is going to dictate your success. And so you're absolutely right. Jumping to number 4, this idea of urgency. And what I take really from that, I do think that all companies, are now in this idea of where speed is everything. I mean, we have real time and instant search and, real time information spread. But I think for a lot of small business owners, the challenge is they've got 80 hours worth of work to do in 40 hours. So, how does urgency impact somebody that's feeling overwhelmed?
Ah, well, there's a skill and a tool to learn for someone that's overwhelmed, that's spending a ton of time on a ton of stuff and running around with their hair on fire. And the tool is learning to say no.
Mm.
Yeah. You've been there. I've been there. A lot of the folks listening have been there, but here's, I teach a class at Wharton every year on strategic thinking. And it was a big epiphany to me a few years ago when I was in the middle of teaching the class, that I realized that one of the greatest things that fantastic leaders and great strategic thinkers do is they figure out what to say no to. Where to have the courage to say, we're not going into that market. Those aren't good clients for us. This isn't a core competency. This is not a product line we're going to bring out. The truth of the matter is, most people spend a majority of their time on things that aren't adding massive value and getting big leverage for their company. If they could learn to say no, learn to have the courage to walk away, and create the focus and the discipline around where they can really win in the marketplace, what they typically find out is, they have a lot more time on their hands to be more effective there. But it's that leap of walking away from something that looks like it could potentially be pretty good to stay focused on the stuff that you know will be a home run.
Yeah, I often kid and say I make most of my money every day in about 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
And the rest of it's, unjamming the copier or something. I think part of the issue too is sort of prioritizing too. I totally
Absolutely.
Agree with you on the saying no, but sometimes it's also a matter of saying, look, we can only do 4 of these things. What are the 2 or 3 most important ones?
Yeah, and that's where that courage comes in to say, okay, we're not doing number 5, 6, and 7. We're taking it off the plate. And if we get to it, that's nice. But if we don't, I'm the leader, and I understand that we have to get these 4 things done. And if we do, the Pareto principle, this 20% of stuff is going to drive 80% of our revenue. If we drop, I had someone in one of my classes said, you just have to, if you're juggling a lot of balls, you just have to figure out which ones are rubber and which ones are glass. Make sure you don't drop
like
the glass
that.
Ones.
Yeah. Yeah, execution is a chapter, and it's certainly a talked about at every size of organization. I often laugh at times. I will when I'm speaking, it never seems to fail that somebody will come up and say, "Hey, I've got this idea for a business, but I can't really share it, you know, because you know, there's some people listening." And you know, I often, you know, will say, "Hey, you could share it with every single person in this room, and you know, there's nobody's going to do it, you know." And I think that that's probably the for so many business owners, that's the real challenge. They have all these great ideas, but they're, you know, how they get them done and execute them is a real challenge sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, based on my research and working with clients and stuff like that, all the leading people that I've talked to that have said they struggle with this say we're only effectively executing about 10 to 15% of what we're trying to accomplish. Mm. Think about that. You're leaving 90, 85% of the great stuff on the table, and there's a 9-step process I came up with execution. That's not that big. The key thing here to me, the number one thing in execution, is creating clear, specific, measurable, quantifiable goals that everyone understands and agrees to, and then holding people rigorously accountable to achieving those clear standards. And the reason it's so important to go clear, quantifiable, binary, measurable is that takes ego and personality out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that way it's not saying, "Hey, it's me versus you. You know, you need to sell more." You say, "Hey, you agreed that you would increase your sales by 63%. You and I are friends, and I like you a lot. I think you're a great person, but you've only increased sales by 43%. We still have to get that last 20. Then it becomes me and you together versus the standards, instead of an argument with personality is, "I don't think you're doing a good job," or "I don't feel like you're working hard enough." It's just simple. You still owe me 20% sales increase.
So break that down for the small business who is maybe, you know, doesn't have sort of the, you know, all the levels of hierarchy that, you know, I've got 4 projects I need to get done. You know, how would your 9-step execution process work on the fact that I'm trying to break these things down?
Well, if you look at it, it was just 1 or 2 people. It's pretty mm-hmm. quick. You can actually skip a couple steps because it's all about communication and guiding coalition. But then you get to it and you say, "All right, let's prioritize it. Let's figure it out. Let's create these measurements. Make sure that there's due dates, owners. It's very clear. It's binary. There's no guessing what we're trying to achieve." Oftentimes when I do that with an employee, what I do is I let the employee write out what they will achieve in the next 90 or 120 days. That way there's no argument around it. They can't say, "I'm confused. I didn't understand." No, actually you wrote this, and you negotiate a little bit. Then you both sign it. It's not a contract. It's a promise. I promise to do everything I can to get everything you need as your leader to achieve all the stuff that you've just written down. If you achieve all of it, there'll be a reward. If you don't achieve all of it, you will be made available to industry. It's an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, but I bet also what happens, I'm going to play the optimist here, is I bet occasionally you go, "Wow, those are some good ideas in there. I hadn't thought of that."
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And every now and then you look at it and go, "Hey, listen, you're not going to be able to do all that. Let me protect you.
Yeah.
If you put all this down, you're going to be disappointed. So let's lower your goals a little bit so you can be more successful." And then I think the big thing then after that is transparency. Putting the stuff up, posting it, talking about it all the time, measuring it so that everybody knows all the time exactly where they stand. There's no guessing about how am I doing. It's right there on the wall, or we talked about it in the meeting, or I sent an email out. And that way everybody in the organization, whether it's 2 people or 12 or 22, knows where everybody else stands and can help hold themselves both personally and mutually accountable for reaching the goals that the entire company has agreed on together.
So I'm talking to John Spence. He's written Awesomely Simple, and you can find out a ton more at awesomelysimple.com. And John, we're going to finish up with sort of the last point that I have, at least, is this idea of customer focus. Again, another one that, you know, gets their probably entire entire libraries of books written on that topic alone. And I think, you know, certainly for the small business, I mean, in many cases, they're inherently customer focused because they meet the person, they go deliver the product to them. I mean, they have a connection that probably is even stronger. But I think that where the opportunity is missed quite often is, you know, maybe looping that customer all the way back into what we talked about at the very beginning, that vision and making them actually a part of a greater community. So give me some help on that one.
Well, there's 2 quick quotes I'll throw at you. The first one is old Mark Twain quote, "The only critic whose opinion counts is the customer."
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to, and here's my quote that I think could summarize the whole book and touches directly on what you focus on every day in your books, John, on both of them, on Duct Tape Marketing and Referral Engine, is Whoever owns the voice of the customer owns the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's created the best relationship, the strongest relationship, who understands the needs, the wants, the desires, the fears, the hopes of their customer, talks to them, listens to them, markets to them well, is the one that's going to have the strongest relationship. And then those customers will drive the success of the business through referrals, through the repeat business, through loyalty, through becoming a raving fan for that business. That really, you take the first five things we talked about, vision, people, culture, urgency, and you take all that and focus it on how can I create the strongest, best relationship I humanly can with my customers and listen, listen, listen to them.
John, we're out of time. I sure appreciate you taking the time to stop by and share your insights. And I think there is, I mean, if there's one point I want to make is I think a lot of people, I know that a lot of your work is with very, very large organizations. But I think the ideas in this book really, in some ways, might actually have more immediate impact for small organizations. And so I appreciate you sharing them.
It's my pleasure and it's my honor. Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.